This is the Voice of America, broadcasting throughout the world with live coverage of the flight of Apollo 14. Today, the descent and touchdown in the Frau Mauro highlands of the moon. In just about 15 minutes from now, the lunar landing craft Antares, with astronauts Alan Shepard and Edgar Mitchell aboard, is scheduled to land on the lunar surface for a 33-and-one-half-hour stay. This is George Mishler at the Apollo News Center in Washington. For a description of the descent and touchdown, we take you to the Manned Spacecraft Center in Houston and correspondent Rhett Turner.
O'clock in the morning. It's right the middle of the night in Houston. And outside the Manned Spacecraft Center, there's a big half moon hanging in the western sky. And from the vicinity of the moon, from lunar orbit, we're listening to conversations of Alan Shepard and Ed Mitchell as they're preparing the lunar module Antares for descent and touchdown to the surface. 4 minutes and 16 seconds to ignition. And we're listening to Al and Ed enter some information into their computer. With me this morning here in Houston to follow this descent and touchdown is one of the men from Mission Control, Jay Green, flight dynamics officer, who has rehearsed again and again and performed these descent and touchdowns with other lunar landing missions in the past. Jay, good morning, and let's hear how your laryngitis sounds this morning.
Good morning, Rhett, and it's still pretty bad, I guess.
According to your information at this point, Jay, 3 minutes before ignition, what is going on in the spacecraft?
Okay, they've had a slight malfunction in the abort switch on board. What they're doing right now is they're telling the computer to ignore any inputs that it may get from this abort switch.
Now, this is in, as I understand it, this means that there's a faulty switch in the primary abort guidance system for the automatic mode, right?
That's right. The abort switch can still be used if they want to do an abort. They just use the backup guidance system.
In this case, they just have to override this one switch.
That's right.
Now, you say this involves some new procedure. What does that mean? Just the way that they're going to begin using the pings, the primary guidance and navigation
system?
That's right.
They're configuring the pings right now in a way that it's not normally intended to be used, the intent being that if it catches a abort signal, it's being told not to recognize it.
Mm-hmm. So actually what this means is that there are a number of modes of performing this descent and touchdown with the guidance and navigation systems aboard. You have the primary system, the pings, and the abort system, the APS, APS. We've made acronyms out of the letters which form the title of primary guidance navigation system, PGNS. And then abort guidance system, AGS, AGS, I beg your pardon.
That's right.
They have both systems which can be used for descent and for an abort for a liftoff. Here goes Al Shepard. Let's listen to this. He said it's a beautiful day for landing in Frau Mauro. We should start picking up that conversation. 1 minute, 52 seconds until the beginning of the descent, until he begins firing the big descent rocket. Al Shepard just said it's a beautiful day.
Bring Master Rhyme on 30 seconds. These simulations hit us again.
That's Shepard.
Piston, the Master Rhyme is on, and A and B lights are on.
A and B lights.
Roger, Antares.
Well, those are the two lights on the side that indicate that the propulsive systems have power applied to them. And that's just an indication that the Master Rhyme was affected. Descent engine is armed.
Okay, 1 minute and 14 seconds now until ignition.
Looks quiet. Looks good.
There was another word. Mark 1 minute. Ed Mitchell gave that readout.
Sending radar temperatures coming up.
Radar temperatures coming up. Alan Shepard.
There shouldn't be any problem.
Okay.
The landing radar will begin to pick up the surface when they're about some 15,000 meters above the surface.
There you go. Okay, our engine is on time.
30 seconds until ignition.
Average D is on. The descent engine is armed.
Roger, I just got the ping charged to navigate. It's average G on.
R3 looks quiet.
The pings, the primary navigation system.
Rolling.
10 seconds.
Hey, R3 looks good.
Ullage.
Auto ullage.
RCS ullage.
Roll. 3, 2, 1, 0.
Ignition.
And we have auto ignition.
Good. Okay, the dip is on at 10%.
We have an auto ignition.
The big engine burning 10%.
Engine arm override, engine command override.
Okay, and the master arm is off.
All right, setting back to 26.
Okay.
Okay, they just locked the engine on.
We'll take the throttle up.
Locked it on.
Throttle up.
Okay, we're
okay, we just
full
got throttle up. We're at full down. Throttle now.
Roger, Ontario.
5, 7. 1, 0, 1.
Full
1.
Auto.
7.
Fully automatic on the engine, right?
Yeah, and that means that they throttled up manually.
It's
part of this backup procedure we were talking about before.
Okay, we have guide.
Guidance disabling.
Okay, now they have the guidance system working actively. If you remember before, we said they disabled it as part of this procedure. Now the guidance system is on and everything's okay.
Landing radar is able. Verb 21.
That's Ed Mitchell now, reading out more of his checklist, saying landing radar is able.
0, 1, 0. Enter. 7, 7. Enter. The landing radar is there. Out. You can reduce.
They have landing radar data.
They're getting it early.
Yes. Yes. We usually do on this.
Okay, Houston. The procedure is complete.
Hi, Roger.
Okay, they've completed the backup
and
procedure.
We're
looking good.
And we're standing by for
NOM 69
as appropriate.
NOM 69 is a ground-supplied number that corrects the LEM position relative to the landing site. It's the final navigation correction.
02800.
This is the ground talking. This burn takes between 11 and 12 minutes. Two touchdown. 2 minutes into the burn.
02800.
That's Ed Mitchell.
Okay, Houston, how does that look?
Asking Houston if they concur.
They're asking Houston right now to look at the landing radar differences and the corrections it's making to the primary navigation system.
Okay, give me a 2 minute.
Radar tracking versus ground tracking.
Versus the pings pre-burn knowledge.
Uh-huh.
Okay, we're a little fast, about 10 feet per second. A little slow on H-dot. A little low.
See, what they're doing now is they're checking their pings against their onboard charts. They're looking good, a little bit off normal, nothing to worry about.
Okay, it's almost back on the track.
Yep.
Almost back on the track. I think it's right where it should be just
now. I got a 3 minute mark again.
Bye.
And the turns should go at 3.
3 minute mark.
Okay, visa by is
okay, I understand. Go at 3.
H dot is low. H is a little low. Eggs and eggs. Foot per second difference.
About halfway to the site from the beginning of the burn in distance.
A little higher than eggs.
Well, they pick up a lot of distance initially, and then it slows down as you get down near the site.
You want to get those ED bats out of the way?
Yeah, I was going to wait just another 10 seconds here.
Shepard and Mitchell, you can hear their comments.
We'll look at the general convergence.
Take a look at ED bats.
Take a look at what?
Okay, throttle's converging.
No, I missed that.
Nice. Houston, my AD bats are go, all in the green.
A and B batteries are go, all in the green, Mitchell said. One of those is...
Isn't it a smooth ride?
Yeah, it's great.
And Terry, you go at 4.
Nice is good.
Go at 4 minutes.
Five.
4. B supply is good. H dot still low. H is converging.
7 minutes to go.
See, they're saying the H-dot is low, but that corresponds with the fact that we came in at a low altitude. You'd expect that at this point.
Getting landing radar
inputs. Getting landing radar inputs, too.
As long as you get that, you're in good shape.
They're good.
15,000 meters. This means they have really haven't dropped too much in altitude.
Yeah,
they began at about this altitude, some 15 kilometers
that's
above the surface.
Right.
On radar, that's a lock on.
coming up on 5 minutes into the burn, still about 6.5 minutes to go.
Essentially what's happening right now, the Pings is trying to kill off all this orbital velocity. Later on, we'll go for the H, and we'll start building up a higher H start and lowering our altitude.
H, height.
That's right. I'm
okay.
Sorry. Forces have it.
That's Jay Green, the flight dynamics officer, giving us an expert interpretation of what you're hearing during this powered descent. Five minutes, 30 seconds into the burn. There was Mitchell reporting.
Profile. K 6+4.0 is throttled down, Terry.
6+4.0, that's the estimated time that the engine will throttle down, come from its 100% setting down to about 40%.
So then about a minute from now, we should see that happen.
Yes, and that's a good number. The later that comes, the better off you are. It means the more fuel you'll have when you get down to the hover phase.
That means it's quite efficient in use of fuel at this point.
That's right, because about 6:30 is nominal, and we're at 6:40. It's later.
10 seconds more.
That's right.
H is high now. We're running high on H. Things are actually good.
And Terry's Houston would like you to cycle the landing radar breaker.
Cycle the landing radar breaker.
Okay. Cycle.
They're coming over the mountainous areas now, and very soon will begin to descend vertically down into the Falmaro crater area. Just below the lunar equator, if you're looking at that half moon out there.
Okay. Velocity light, 57 air.
Okay, they have velocity data on the landing radar. Up until this time, they were just getting altitude corrections. Now they're getting velocity corrections.
So the radar is really beginning to lock in its full function.
That's right.
Okay.
7 minutes.
Great. Great.
Okay, and monitor descent fuel, too.
4 minutes to go in the burn.
Okay, the throttle down was on time, essentially. And we're on descent fuel, too.
Okay, that was an indication. Basically, the monitor fuel or oxidizer. The fuel was the one that was the lowest, so that's what they're going to watch from now on out.
And that was Al Shepard reporting.
And Terry Houston, your Pings H dot is a good one.
Your Pings
okay,
H dot.
Yeah,
Pings
as they go down,
indicator.
They're comparing the Pings and the AGs, the primary and the backup. It was just an indication that the Pings is the better of the two sources.
Mm-hmm, of the two guidance sources. 8 minutes into the burn now.
And Terry Houston, you go at 8.
Roger.
You powered down partially. In other words, we're past the biggest part of the braking phase now. The descent rocket has begun to, it's powered down, and then momentarily it'll begin, the spacecraft will pitch over. Well, it will have pitched over now for the landing radar to be in full lock, I presume.
No, it's pitched up a little bit. Pretty soon we'll be getting a total pitch up to vertical, and they'll go into a hover phase. But they are getting closer and closer to vertical coming in.
Okay, thank you,
Jim. 10 seconds to go. 4.
That's Shepard.
Okay, there's pitch over.
Okay, we just hit high gate. We're vertical now. They can see the site.
Right, there it is. Right on the money. Right on the money. Up the LPD, mate. LPD, 41.
There is full pitch over. They're about 2,000 to 3,000 meters high. They can see the site.
Right out the window.
They're looking at it out the window. We lost a little of that communications antenna, too.
Yes, sounded good. Right? They've got a go for landing for mission control, so they're in good shape all around. Sounds like they're going right where they want it to be.
Okay.
Houston, I'm on half.
Roger, Ed.
Okay, 2,000, 48 feet.
Unclick land.
A little fast.
Unclick land.
2,050 feet a second, a little bit fast, but not bad.
They're doing a little redesignating to get exactly where they want.
All right, at high gate, they were... moving about 153 feet per second down.
A little fast.
That's right. But once they got into this post-high gate phase of the mission, they're killing off that H-dot very rapidly.
The height.
1,000 feet.
Well, not only the height, but the altitude rate.
Mm-hmm.
Right on schedule now. Went by Cone Crater right outside to my right.
They're just beyond Cone Crater, a minute and a half to touchdown.
Is, full south of track, about halfway between Triplet and Doublet. Full south of track.
Okay.
About 60 meters. That's where we're going.
From here.
He sees his landing site just a little south of track between craters Triplet and Doublet. These are well-known landmarks.
Yeah, 550 feet.
Okay.
16 feet per second. 500 feet, 15 feet per second. It looks good.
150 or so meters up. 10%.
Okay, let's take it over and move
okay.
up a little.
Yeah, I think so. You're through 320 feet.
Okay, right now they're probably down in P66, although I can't confirm that for sure. And this is the way they can manually control their rate of descent.
This is one of the computer modes which changes the method of control for Al Shepard.
9% fuel looks great.
Fuel looks great, he said. He's
very
fat
right now.
Looks like you're going right over the middle of Triplet.
Right over the middle of Triplet Crater. They want to be just a bit to the north and west of that.
8% fuel. You're looking good.
So we're right at the site.
Okay, 170 feet in holding. About 1 foot per second down. I want to speed it up a little bit.
Okay, I'm going to move forward.
Okay.
Moving forward a bit, Shepard says, getting closer to the proper touchdown spot. They see right where they are. They're right on the money.
Okay, 7% fuel. Okay, you're still at 170 feet indicated.
170 feet up.
Okay, you can move on forward.
They're a very small H-stop now. They're not dropping too fast. They're looking over, trying to pick a good landing site.
6% fuel, okay. 150 feet. There's decent quantity light.
Okay.
You should be touching down momentarily.
All right.
If you could land over here, there's some dust, Al. 110 feet.
They're getting dust now.
About 30 meters up.
6%. There's good dust. You're on your own.
Starting down. Starting down.
Okay. It says 90 feet. 4 feet per second, 5 feet per second down.
About 25 meters up. They're
okay.
Yeah, looking great.
Maneuvering laterally a bit.
60 seconds.
Okay, 50 feet down.
60 seconds if you're all
right.
3 feet per second. 40 feet. 3 feet per second. 30. 3 feet per second. Looking great. 20 feet. 10.
3 meters.
3 feet per second. Contact, Al.
Two, stop.
Contact.
Whoa. Auto.
We're on the surface.
Okay, we made a good landing.
Well, it looked like a good
Roger,
one.
Roger, enters.
413 plus 10,000. That was a beautiful one.
Al Shepard said contact, and Ed Mitchell says we're on the surface.
We're slope, but other than that, we're in great shape,
yep.
Right on the landing site.
Okay, recycling the Parker valve.
Hey.
Open.
There you
open.
Go. Switch is being
open.
Thrown open. That's Ed Mitchell going through
Canadian
a checklist for switches.
Back,
Apollo 14 is on the lunar surface.
In
12 minutes and 46 seconds of burn.
Prime is off.
Big descent rocket engine. Right on the landing spot in the Frau Mauro section of the moon. Jay, how did that one go in comparison with rehearsal?
Oh, it sounded great. It sounded like a fantastic sim, especially with the initial setup.
A fantastic simulation.
That's right. There was some last-minute scrambling prior to the descent, but it sounds like all the people all over the country did some really good work and got the procedures out in less than an hour.
Let's see. They're still closing down systems and double-checking, doing that fast 2 minutes they have to see if they're going to have to take off.
Yeah, they have a quickie. They have a stay-no-stay decision, which they call T1, which is coming up pretty quickly now. And the flight director will poll the mission control room, and he'll get either a stay-no-stay from all the people and pass it on to the crew.
This means checking over every bit of the systems on the lunar module to make sure that it's okay to stay on the surface. Right, they have about 2 minutes in which they can abort and then affect the fast rendezvous with the command module, which is going overhead. Stu Roos up there listening to this, saying nothing. Let's listen to Shepard and Mitchell.
And 400 plus 4.
400 plus 40,000.
414, that's it, right? Houston, did I get a 414 plus 20,000 in?
Am I?
That's 414 plus 20,000 is means of reinitializing the ags and telling it where on the surface it is. It gets a little off there on the detail.
The abort guidance system computer varies just a bit if you don't use it.
That's right. Once you get on the surface, you gotta sink it,
align it
to the pings.
Mm-hmm. Align. Now what's that? About 8 degrees of roll we're in, 8 degrees slope.
Okay, we got the now 43 out.
Yeah. That's what Mitchell and Shepard are talking about. Jay's explaining it.
Okay, let me copy those down. Those two. Back on our book.
That's Mitchell copying the numbers down on his book for that.
Stop is reset. 40.
Anybody notice what time it was when they touched down? I think it was about 18 minutes past
minus
the hour.
367 minus 1751. It is 367. 1751. What was the altitude?
That was a couple of minutes later than anticipated, Jim.
Want to give me the...
It couldn't be too much later. You don't have that much gas.
Okay.
No, that seems like it was just about on.
Mm-hmm.
T2.
What they're reading out right now are the pings coordinates of where the pings thinks it took them to.
04.
Where the primary guidance system thinks it landed them. Of course, as you know, Al Shepard took over visually when he could see his crater patterns pointing out the exact landing spot. So he's right on it. It was a pinpoint landing. He had extra fuel. He had he got there a little early, and we know of 10 seconds extra that we think they had. And so he could maneuver horizontally while Ed Mitchell was calling out remaining fuel and pick out his spot. And so Shepard is now set down the lunar module Antares right according to the pre-planning pinpoint landing spot.
Okay. Oh, wait a minute.
We passed that 2 minute abort spot.
That's right. I didn't hear them pass up the stay, but
they're on the surface and everything's good at this point.
It sure sounds it. Okay, they should have another stay, no stay point coming up in about 3 minutes from now.
You hear Shepard and Mitchell.
Okay, we're waiting on a stay.
Shepard says, okay, we're waiting on a stay, waiting for that next
and that's
step.
This T2, stay, no stay.
The confirmation from Mission Control. With us is Flight Dynamics Officer Jay Green, helping us interpret all of this commentary for you from the lunar surface, from Falmaro, Al Shepard and Ed Mitchell. Jay was a little worried about his laryngitis and being over here with us this morning in our studio about 100 meters or so from Mission Control.
He seems to be clearing up.
We'll
just be in 5 minutes.
I think the excitement of something like this would clear anybody's throat.
Okay, they just got to stay for T2, and now they go for another 2 hours on the surface at least.
Hey, Chris, that was really great work you did on that abort problem.
That was Ed Mitchell.
Yeah, those guys did a lot of scratching around there, Ed.
Yes, sir. We sure appreciate that.
Ed Mitchell acknowledging the work of...
You better really save the mission.
Shepard there says you really saved the mission. They're acknowledging the work of the men in Mission Control in helping them bypass the faulty abort switch on the primary guidance navigation system.
It's great. It was a fantastic job by all the people concerned.
Who's on the... who's the other Fido over there on the Flight Dynamics Board right now?
Right Dave now, Reed? Dave Reed is on.
Had a conversation, interview with Dave Reed. I ran a tape of that a day or two ago. I hope our listeners around the world heard us describing what the flight dynamics officer does, what the guys in the trench do.
Busy, busy work for a couple of hours at this point.
Go ahead.
Now, just sitting still there, we'd like to try to get the steerable gone. Pitch plus 124. yaw, minus 42, and stay in slew.
They're going to get the antenna lined up a little better so we get a little sharper signal back here at Earth, the steerable antenna. We noticed it get off just a little bit before touchdown.
Yeah, they seem to have troubles with it for the last couple of revs. A lot of it was due to the low altitude we were traveling in.
Mm-hmm. So they're now manually adjusting the dish antenna on top of the lunar module to get a better lock with the Earth. You notice the static disappeared there as he's doing it. So as far as voice communication is concerned, it sounds to me as though we already have a clearer signal.
You've got it. That picked up the signal strength a little bit.
That picked up the signal a little bit.
Antares, Houston, say again.
You
no, we didn't lose communication, not quite.
Either one or the other.
Locked up in slew.
Okay, Antares, that looks good.
Okay, Antares, that looks good. They have the antenna aligned now. Sounds quiet. I hope they don't shut up at this point. They've been awfully quiet all throughout the mission. That's the most conversation I think we've heard from those two astronauts together at one point all the way.
Oh, it has to be. They came out with a little joyous comment. Rev prior to descent when they passed over the site and they were able to pick out the three craters down there.
What did, do you remember what the comment was? Who said it?
I believe it was Ed, and he was talking to Fred Hayes in Mission Control and said that this time they were going to land on Fra Amaro. Fred Hayes, of course, was.
Yeah, he missed it.
He missed it.
Yeah, Fred Hayes, the capsule communicator back in Mission Control, was in Apollo 13, which ran into troubles, as you well recall, I'm sure, and they were to land right at this same spot, just about 100 meters north, as a matter of fact, of the same touchdown spot. And Ed Mitchell was rubbing it in just a little bit, the fact that they were going to land where Fredo, as they call him, didn't make it. Part of the good-natured joshing back and forth among these astronauts. This is an immense pressure reliever, too, incidentally, the amount of joking which goes on between the astronauts on the ground and the astronauts in space. Okay, you've just heard the landing of Apollo 14 on the Fra Amaro section of the moon, Alan Shepard and Ed Mitchell, right on time, right to the second, piloted their spacecraft down to the surface. We will have the first extravehicular activity in a couple hours, and everything is go for at least a two-hour stay for Apollo 14 on the surface of the moon in Fra Amaro. Ed Mitchell and Alan Shepard in good shape. With me reporting from Houston, Flight Dynamics Officer Jay Green, our thanks to you. This is Rhett Turner in Houston.
We come to the close of the Voice of America's live coverage of one of the most critical periods in the flight of Apollo 14, the descent and landing of the lunar module Antares in the Fra Amaro highlands of the moon. Astronauts Shepard and Mitchell are preparing for their first moonwalk, scheduled to take place about 4.5 hours from now. The Voice of America will return to the air with its worldwide network at 14 hours GMT to follow the activities of the astronauts as they deploy scientific experiments and collect lunar samples. And we will interrupt our regularly scheduled programs to bring you up-to-the-minute reports on the progress of Apollo 14. Our thanks to VOA correspondents Rhett Turner and NASA expert Jay Green in Houston for their description of descent and touchdown on the moon. This is George Mishler at the Apollo News Center in Washington. This program has come to you from the United States of America.